Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited. I've got so many things to share. Tengo dos cosas o dos sujetos, enseñar. I have two things that I want to teach, and the first one is short, and the second one is long, and I wish that I could do it all in Spanish. You guys have no idea how much I love learning this stuff. I spend many, many hours a week studying this, and it's just becoming more and more part of my life, and it's allowing me to have entrance into people's lives that otherwise I just wouldn't have. And I see that as huge. Now, it's taken me some years to get there, but that's okay, because what do we have but time? Remember a long time ago, I taught that time is not running out. It's like everywhere we turn, you know, the ads and the buying pressure was, oh, time is running out. You got to get this now. You got to get this now. You got to do this now. You got to do this now. Well, it's just not true. In fact, everything that the world says is a lie. All you have to do is believe the opposite of it, and you're pretty good. And that's what you want to do, okay? And what we really want to do right now are our positive affirmations. I go to bed thinking about these sometimes, and I start translating them into other languages too, like German, for instance. It's just fun. But I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Y en español, yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo, yo seré. Lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré, yo puedo hacer. Lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Yay! Isn't that spectacular? Spectacular. Spectacular. Yes. Well, I hope you're ready, because I'm going to share a little bit about the Word of God being food. And then Chris is going to play a really cool song. And then I'm going to pick up on the series that I've been teaching prior, learning about the Antichrist and all that stuff. Okay, so let's start with Matthew chapter 4 and get right into what Jesus told us and that we must always remember. Now, how many of you have ever had food poisoning? Raise your hand if you have ever had food poisoning. Okay. I don't know if I have. I guess I have. I think I remember Jose telling me something, and I do remember Chris. But if you've ever had food poisoning, it's because you ate the wrong food. Black and white. You just ate the wrong food. The Word of God is our food. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written. Well, that's significant, because now we're talking about the Word of God. So the Word of God is to mean everything to us. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If you're going to live, you got to eat the right things. Number one, you got to have bread. Number two, you got to have the word. Or do we want to say that backwards? Number one, you got to have the word. Number two, you got to have bread. Well, that's what Jesus told us. And of course, he was telling Satan that too. If you don't have the right food, you're not going to get the right nourishment. If you are believing the wrong things, you're going to get food poisoning. Because the Word of God is food. It's food for your mind. Bread is food for your body. But the Bible is called the bread of life. And so it's just like waters of life. It's the same thing. They're designed to do something well from a spiritual perspective and in a spiritual nature for you. They're designed to work for you in a superlative way. So maybe your bread that you bake in your oven or wherever doesn't quite satisfy you. After you eat, you're still hungry, but you're full. Well, you still need another kind of nourishment. That would be the Word of God. If somebody teaches you the Word of God and you say, no, I don't believe that, but you're reading it line by line and word by word, then you have food poisoning. If you say, oh, I don't believe that, you just got food poisoning because you're believing something other than the word. If somebody comes and says the word of God, it says, and then reads what it says, and you read it line by line and word by word, and you say, oh, I don't believe that, you now have food poisoning, and it's going to make you sick. Food poisoning can be very dangerous, salmonella and whatever else it is, but it can be very, very costly. So why wouldn't it be any different with the Bible? Jesus says in John chapter 6 and verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So the idea is that you get the bread and water from Jesus Christ. He's your all in all. He's your Lord. He's in charge of you. I am the bread of life. But if you say, Jesus isn't the bread of my life, then you have food poisoning, and you are either already sick or you're going to get sick. So we want to believe what the Word of God says. If we don't believe what the Word of God says, sickness is introduced into us just by the nature of bad food, because bread is just as important for your body as the Word is important for your mind. Or the Word is just as important for your mind as bread is for your body. And so there are striking parallels between the two. We need to eat the words of Jesus Christ, and then we will never hunger. Wow, that's so cool. Then look in verse 48. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Well, you just can't go wrong. So next time you grab for a roll or some crackers, grab a little piece of the word too. Munch on it. Munch on the bread of life while you're munching on the bread for your body. Isn't that cool? Well, we want to understand, turn to John chapter 4. We want to understand that the bread of life is just as important, well, I'd say more so, as bread for your body. And we want to understand that if we refuse the bread of life, we're actually eating something else in its place. That's bad. That's very dangerous, and it could cost you, well, it could cost you your life even. I mean, I suppose people have died because they ate bad food. Like, what if they dug up a hemlock plant that looks like carrots, white turnips? What if they dug up a hemlock? What if they just touched the top of a hemlock plant thinking that, well, it's not parsley, but it looks kind of like a carrot top? And then they got sick and it's incurable and they died. What if they were so hungry that they took the hemlock tubers, you know, the root part, and boiled them and ate them? Well, they're as good as gone. and there's nothing that could be done to fix that unless God miraculously heals them. So you must be careful about what you eat, especially spiritually speaking. Okay, so let's say that you believe that Jesus is God, but the Bible never says that. It says many times, over 5,000, that he's the Son of God. And even the devil knows who he is. He's just got false doctrine going around. But the more of the false teachings that you believe, the sicker you're going to become. Now, it is a sickness because it breeds anger, it breeds contempt, it breeds lies, it breeds hatred, it breeds jealousy. It breeds so many things that get in the way of a unified family of God, where we're all single-minded, where we're all standing on the Word of God, the one Word of God. What if somebody comes along and says what Paul said, I would that ye all spake with tongues. I'm not going to speak in tongues. I don't need that. Oh, there's poison. That's poison, okay? Anytime you have false teachings floating through your head, you risk being sick. And so we don't want that. Jesus said in John 4:14, but whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Well, I think we're getting the idea that if we feed on the words, the gospel of Christ, okay, we feed on the word of God, which Jesus stood upon and declared, if we do that, we're going to be properly nourished. We can get water, we can get bread, and I'm sure there's a whole lot of other things that come too. But that's just the beginning. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. So when you take of the food of Christ, there's something inside you that then produces more, and it grows up in you. The water, for example, will be a well of water, and it will spring up into everlasting life. This is just the beginning, folks. We are going somewhere soon that will put this place to shame. You just won't. I hope you don't remember this place, because what's coming is so great, and it's going to be so nourishing that everything prior will dull in comparison. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. I talked a little bit about fire. This is a slightly different topic now. I talked a little bit about fire last week. I want to say a couple more things about it. Not much, but I'm going to say a couple that I didn't say last week. When you think fire, you get a picture in your mind. Maybe a bonfire, maybe a campfire, maybe a gas fire in gas logs in your fireplace. Maybe the fire that comes out of your stove when you're cooking something on those burners. But you think fire. When you read the word fire in the Bible, you're thinking the same kind of thing. 1 Kings 18:38 says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Well, I'm going to tell you something. No fire you've ever made or ever seen, maybe until recently, and that was just a counterfeit, but the fires that you're familiar with, they are not this fire. The fire of the Lord fell. Well, it wasn't a campfire with sticks that came out of heaven and kind of stayed together as they fell down to earth. It wasn't a blowtorch. It wasn't some kind of earthly fire. It didn't have the look of earthly fire. It didn't have the feel of earthly fire. It didn't have the smell of earthly fire. It didn't have the sound of earthly fire. It simply wasn't of human existence. And it certainly wasn't the touch of earthly fire. Because honestly, now maybe you know, but honestly, I've never seen a fire that ever consumed not only the sacrifice, it says, but the wood and the stones and the dust. How deep did it go? And licked up the water that was in the trench. This was a living fire, but it was the fire of God. There is nothing on earth comparable. And I dare say you've ever seen anything like this. Now, the counterfeit could be made to look somewhat like this, like the weather makers, the DICs, those are the demons in charge and the things that they're doing to the world today. These fires that go and totally consume any type of material. Though that is a counterfeit. And they don't burn the blue recycling bins or the trees. Come on, something's wrong here, okay? That's all counterfeit. It's all counterfeit. The real thing, the real McCoy, is what the Bible talks about, like in verse 38. And so this fire that came down from heaven was alive, and it cannot be touched with human hands, nor can human hands manufacture it. Look at Matthew chapter 3. So when we put together the water from God and the fire from God, we can see not only through life experiences, but also in the Bible, how the devil tries to counterfeit it. He's always trying to counterfeit everything. He is nothing but a lie, and he counterfeits everything. He lies about everything godly, even himself. He lies about himself. You know where it says he's going to sit in the temple like he's God? That's a lie. He's not God. He can't be God, but he's going to tell people that he is. He is nothing but a lie. And Matthew 3:11 says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with Holy Ghost, that's spirit, not ghost. Get rid of that word. That's old English. We don't use it. Pneumahagion in the Greek, and with fire, and with fire. So fire is synonymous with receiving the gift of Holy Spirit. And so it's purging. It's going to lick up the dust. It's going to burn the stones and the wood. All the things that are going to be judged in a person's life get taken away at the new birth. And we have nothing to fear about our lives in the sense of judgment, because we are baptized, and that baptism stays in effect forever for us by Holy Spirit and fire. We are cleansed. We are purified. God has made us acceptable, and it's done with his fire. Well, I find that wonderful. Turn to Numbers 31. You see, everything that the devil does is a counterfeit. You just got to get used to that. If you read it in the media, if you hear it in the media, it's a lie. Believe the opposite. Just try me. You'll be 98% right, okay? But the devil does it with the things of God, too. You know, he might lie about the world and the things going on in the world, like, you know, a certain medical procedure is the best thing that you could ever do. Okay, it's a lie. Just believe it's not. And you can do that with everything you hear in the media. But he does it with the Bible too. Numbers 31:23. Everything that may abide the fire, ye shall make it go through the fire, and it shall be clean. Verse 23, yeah. Nevertheless, it shall be purified with the water of separation, and all that abideth not the fire, ye shall make go through the water. Well, this was something that God had these people do, and I'm not really going to speak about it, but if you remember the devil, when the devil's spirits would throw the little boy in the fire, and he was possessed, and even the disciples couldn't heal him. Jesus Christ had to. It was a thing of faith. He was just doing counterfeit stuff, throwing the kid into the fire and throwing him into the water, trying to drown him. That's what the devil would do. Well, that's their fate. They're going to die, okay? And they like to pretend that they have the same kind of power, but they don't. And so the fire that we see in the Bible that comes from God is not earthly. It's alive. It's living. It can fall from heaven. They try to make this fire stuff like that took out that huge section of Los Angeles and other places in California and other places in the world. They try to make it look like it was a godly thing, fall from heaven, but it's a lie. It's a counterfeit. And when God's fire falls, nothing can endure it. Nothing. And that's how he's going to destroy this world, with fire. And that's how he's going to destroy the devil, with fire. And that's how he's going to destroy the devils, with fire. That's how he's going to destroy any and everything not acceptable to him, with fire. But it's going to be his fire. It's not going to be like a little bonfire. It's not going to be like a little campfire. It's not going to be like the blue fire that comes out of your burner or lights your oven. It's not going to be like a fire that consumes whole neighborhoods. That's all counterfeit. When God's fire falls, it's going to be all-consuming. Nothing will escape. Now, we know that of the flood and Noah's ark, but he didn't use fire. He used water. And so the devils and the giants and all those things that were in the world up until Noah's time, their bodies died, but the spirits didn't die. The spirits will die in God's fire, but that is yet to come. And so that's why we still have demons in the world today, because the demons were not burnt by fire. They will be, but not yet. So I just wanted to add a few things like that to some of the stuff I've been talking about to help round you out on seeing the difference between truth and counterfeit. That's one of our great purposes. I want you to understand that the things of God cannot be created or manufactured or pseudo-implemented in any sense of the word. Even if you think you're seeing it, you're not. What you're seeing is a lie. If God moves and brings his fire to pass, like he did for Moses and the fire in the burning fiery bush, that's a whole different thing. But he didn't do that for you. So the most you get to see is a campfire or a fire off your stove or the little pilot that lights or is lit in your heater, or maybe the little fire that blows out of the back of your exhaust because you're not burning your fuel properly in your car. That's all pretend. Yeah, it's there, but it's earthly fire. It's not godly fire. It's not fire that falls from heaven. When you got born again, fire fell from heaven into your being. You didn't even know it, but it did, because we know what the Bible says. And everything was purged. You became acceptable, and you are always going to be acceptable, because you will always have that incorruptible seed. You will always have the gift of Penuma HaGion in you. With Penuma HaGion comes fire. So that fire, just like the bread and just like the wellspring of life, the water in you is constantly alive and growing and taking you to a point of existence that is yet to come. That would be eternity, but it's making you equipped and prepared, and you will reach that point. But just like those things exist and work and abound in you today, so does God's fire. It's always purging. If you believe that you've been forgiven, that God has accepted you, if you believe in forgiveness of sins, if you believe in the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, that he died for you, for your sins, if you believe that, trust me, the fire is alive and well. It is burning and licking up the dust. It's burning the wood. It's burning the stones. But there's one thing it will never do. It will never consume the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. That's already done. That's already done. The fire of God came and went on that one. But now you bear the fruit. You bear the results of that. And you can rest in that confidence that in God's eyes, you are absolutely perfect.